deploy, and the world breathe a sigh of relief. After the
More Quality News Network at the
This is the Quality News Network. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. The latest AP Ipsos poll reveals that only one in three Americans approves of the president's leadership. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. President Bush said today, quote, there must be consequences for Tehran. Earlier today, Iran's president insisted that his country would not accept bullying. At the United Nations today, the U.S. Ambassador John Bolton announced that the UN Security Council must now be ready to impose sanctions on Iran. He added that unanimity on the council was not necessary to move ahead. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, most within a half hour, including two car bombs, left at least 51 people dead. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. More than 126 Iraqis were wounded. Since Sunday, 250 people have been killed in and around Baghdad. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. There were no reports of damage. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports that the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. In Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. In Mexico, along the Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John. And along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to set broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly for some time to come. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. LG Electronics and Sharp expect a 20-30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Mortgage rates fell for the sixth straight week. Freddie Mac reports the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has dropped to 6.44%. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand. Ford has owned the British sports car line since 1987 as part of its European luxury unit, which includes includes Land Rover and Volvo. And BP officials say they're optimistic that Prudhoe Bay oil production may be returned to normal levels earlier than expected. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 2 points. The Nasdaq is also down 2. The S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5.
Okay, Tokyo, South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, welcome one and all to the Thursday evening, afternoon, sometime Friday edition, depending on where you are, of course. The globe being round, it makes the time zones work that way. I'm Bob Kincaid. Next to me, my lovely, talented, devoted, devastatingly gorgeous wife, Agnes, and producer.
Must be a rough night.
I'm cozying up early, dear. You know, when me and Adam and Eve were riding dinosaurs to church on Sunday morning, I was a student, and I submitted a series of poems for some assignment or something. I was a poetry, long hair, sit in a coffee house and have so much caffeine that I can't drink the damn stuff now. And I submitted a series of poems called Seven Poems That Have Something to Do With Each Other That I Haven't Figured Out Yet. You know, because they wanted you to name it something, arty. Something like dry toast, sunshine, Idaho morning. Yeah, welcome to the Porky Pig radio program. Stop it, Bob. I've got that sense tonight. I've got an amalgam of stories that there's something about them. There's something in there that there's a common thread that I can't quite get my hand on. Maybe you'll figure it out. I'd appreciate it if you would tell me. Because it all starts with a couple of stories that have been laying around for a while. Maybe you've already heard them. And, let's start with Dear Leader went to Salt Lake City today, and he delivered the same crappy speech that he delivers everywhere about, stay in the course and more people, and I'm not leaving Iraq, and you can't make me. Mommy! That whole potty trained at gunpoint thing that he does. And do I have sound bites for you? No. I guess they would augment the program, but what's the point? When you hear Dear Leader anymore, hasn't it gotten to the point for you where it's like fingernails across a chalkboard? I mean, it's off key, atonal, and grating against everything that makes you human and me human. So he went to Salt Lake City, and he said, everything is getting much better in Iraq. And at the same time he was there, the crawler, at least on CNN, was pointing, new bomb blast in Iraq, kills 6, wounds 15, something like that. So, that happened. Don Rumsfeld went to Salt Lake City yesterday and proved himself to be crazier than a cockroach on a 3-day decon binge. Surprise! No. And it turns out that, you know, everybody in America... See, he impugned my patriotism. He impugned the patriotism of the politicians who were beginning to oppose the Iraq War. But at the same time, the thing that went unnoticed by most of the mainstream media, he impugned the patriotism of a majority of America who now disagrees with his crazy self. These people are in a corner. And rabid animals in a corner are the most dangerous animals on earth. And, these people are animals. Because they have given up, a long time ago, they have given up the right to my consideration and your consideration as anything approaching reasonable members of the human race. Animals, aliens, but then again, it's not fair to the animals because I know, animals only kill to live. These monsters in the Bush administration kill for sport and profit. No animal would do that. So do we have to go into the realms of the superstitious or the highly speculative? They're some sort of Romulans, they're demons. But why are we surprised? And Keith Olbermann delivered a brilliant Jeremiad on his program last night. Our good friend Luke called from Knoxville, Tennessee yesterday evening to give me a heads up to it, and I watched it, and I don't know. Somebody tell me later on if Keith manages to show up on TV again tonight, because that's the kind of thing that will get you gone in Bushmerica. So there's all of that. And so into that mix comes a statement from Virginia Senator George Allen. George Allen says that Virginians aren't concerned with whether he's a racist or, well, not whether. He says Virginians don't care about him being a racist. They don't care. He says Virginians, it's only an issue for the media. I don't have the quote right in front of me. I can't recall if he said the liberal media or not. Usually when a weirdo right-wing Republican says media, it has to have the word liberal in front of it so they can reinforce the big lie, the just absolutely Goebbels-esque big lie that there's a liberal media when everyone knows that there isn't one. But it may be it's just the media that cares. Okay, well, no. Senator Felix Makaka has problems that run far deeper than that. I've got something here, and I realize that this is incredibly disturbing, but I'm looking at a photograph here of George Allen. Maybe you've seen it already. Good job, Bob, talking about photographs on the radio. Haven't figured out that ain't got a camera thing yet, have you? I'm looking at a photograph here of George Allen left to right with Citizens Informer editor Fred C. Jennings, followed by Concerned Citizens Council Gordon Lee Baum, National Concerned Citizen Coalition, Concerned Citizen, the CCC president, Tom Dover, an actor. Get your hands off me, you filthy ape, Charlton Heston. Okay, this was him attending the White Concerned Citizens Council meeting back when he was governor of Virginia. Now, I'm going to read you something, because the person who, if you're looking at the photograph, who is two people to the right of George Allen is a guy by the name of Gordon Baum. Gordon Baum, B-A-U-M. And he is a member of the CCC, which is basically the KKK without the sheets. And Gordon Baum has had a radio show called Right at Night. His co-host is a guy named Earl Holt. Okay. Earl Holt sent a letter to a blogger by the name of Arch Pundit. Work with me here. And by the way, if you don't like racial commentary, might best step away from the speaker for a minute, because I'm going to read these words as they were written, because the day is upon us when we can no longer say, you know, he made a racist epithet, or, you know, he made a racially charged statement. That's crap. We have got to hear, these are the people that George Allen thinks are fine, upstanding members of society, and nowhere in the mainstream media are you going to hear him called on it. You will hear it here. Maybe others have already covered it. I don't know. I don't know how others have handled it. All I can do is read to you what this character, Earl Holt, this filthy, filthy, disgusting, racist pig who traffics on hatred of other human beings. This is what he wrote to the blogger Arch Pundit, okay? Because Arch Pundit had referred to Holt, who is the partner of Gordon Baum, co-host of Right at Night. He'd referred to him as a white supremacist. I'm not gonna turn the delay on. Agnes, dear, I need you to go to hold or whatever, please. I'm going to read this. It has a lot of nasty words in it. If the phones light up with people objecting, tell them these are not my words. These are the words of Republicans. These are the words of the people who call themselves compassionate. These are words from a person of whom George Allen, Senator from Virginia, approves. All right? This is disturbing as hell. So he writes to Arch Pundit, this Holt monster does. I apologize in advance. I apologize for these words. I apologize to my sainted dead mother for even saying them. But this is what journalism is about. This is not gratuitous. Somebody has got to tell America what these Republicans are about. Hey, commie! Imagine my chagrin when I used a search engine to find commentary about myself, and there was your shallow, dilettante asshole self labeling me a white supremacist. Being the shallow, nigger-loving dilettante that you are, you probably do consider niggers to be your equal. Who am I to question this? Yet unlike you and your allies, I have an IQ in excess of 130, which grants me the ability to objectively evaluate the great American Negro Africanus criminalis. See why I asked you to go to hold, dear? Earl Holt, co-host with Gordon Baum of Right at Night. These are people that Senator George Allen hangs out with, Agnes. The Negro is 11.5% of the U.S. population, yet he commits in excess of 55% of all felonies, although felonies are underrepresented in the Negro community, where observing the law is considered acting white. Moreover, he, or should I say she, accounts for 48% of all ADC recipients in the U.S. We have spent over $7 trillion on urban welfare spending since the mid-1960s, black economists Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams, and the Negro is still as criminal, surly, lazy, violent, and stupid as he, she ever was, while his illegitimacy rate is 80% nationwide and over 90% in the large urban areas. I told you this was disgusting. But this is the Republican Party, all right? This is the Republican Party. This is Senator George Allen. By the way, those of us who tried to end forced busing in St. Louis did so because it is a colossal waste and nothing more than a symbolic gesture that has seriously deprived every school district in Missouri that doesn't benefit from a DSEG program. It has cost the state of Missouri $3.5 billion since 1983, another $3.5 billion in Kansas City. Yet the Negro scholars bust, and that's with a quotation mark, bust to county schools under DSEG, quote, improve less academically than every other category of student in the St. Louis public schools, according to the federal court-ordered Lissitz study. Also, you lying asshole, in the 2003-2004 school year, St. Louis spent $11,711 per nigger, idiot, in the public schools, yet half of all students test at the 20th percentile or lower on nationally standardized tests. If I were emperor, I would forcibly hand over you and all your commie apologists for Negro underachievement to white working class parents of public school students and let them have their way with you. Welcome to the GOP. But it's not done. We're not done. Earl P. Holt of St. Louis, Missouri, is not done. Earl P. Holt, member of the CCC. Earl P. Holt, friend of Senator George Allen. You know, member of the same CCC as old Trent Lott and Strom Thurmond. Earl Holt's not done. Someday, you sanctimonious nigger lovers will either have to live amongst them, nothing cures an enthusiasm for integration like a good dose of niggers, or else defend yourself against them. My guess is that you are such a cowardly and pusillanimous lot of girly boys, they will kill... No, look, I can't... No, there's another paragraph of this swill. I can't do it. I feel so dirty right now that and you know, this is me who says it takes a dirty mind to make dirty words. I was wrong. Those are dirty words all by themselves. Now, if I started screaming the F word from now until 10 p.m., it could not get any dirtier than the words of right-wing Republican voting Earl P. Holt III. This is the CCC. And these are the people who are the good friends of Senator George Allen. The photograph, if you want to see it, it's at The Nation. The name of the article is Beyond Macaca, the photograph that haunts George Allen. He said it was a mistake. I was wrong for going there. You know, with the macaca thing. You know, I didn't mean to. And now he's saying, well, the media doesn't really care. I'm sorry, Virginians don't really care about the macaca incident. It's just the media who's making something out of this. Well, if Virginians don't care, then nothing has been learned since 1865 in Virginia. Of course, I think Senator Macaca is probably dead wrong. Virginians do care. That's why Jim Webb, his opponent, has risen so mightily in the polls. The Council of Conservative Citizens. You know, there's a reason. But it's still KKK, only it's CCC. George Allen is a racist, a bigot. He is apparently, according to the book published by his sister, authored by his sister, he is apparently a sadist. Said, growing up, he said he wanted to be a dentist because he couldn't imagine a better combination, getting paid to cause people pain. This is... Like I said, there is a thread that runs through a bunch of stuff in the program tonight. We're only at the front end of the thread. I apologize profoundly for using that language. I made a judgment call. I was wrong for it. I guess I could have self-edited. But this is the modern Republican Party. Those are not the ravings of some exalted Sasquatch around the burning cross 60 years ago. That is today. That is today's Republican Party. Where you quietly sit back and say, pour me a little bit more bourbon over the rocks there, and let's watch the TV coverage of the drowning people in New Orleans. Because did you notice? I got something. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Like I said, there's a thread to all of this. I have a feeling. A year after Houston, this is from CNN, a year after Houston took in more than 200,000 people displaced by Hurricane Katrina, complaints of crimes linked to the evacuees has some of the residents ready to roll up the welcome mat for those who remain. Mayor Bill White got an earful from residents of the city's west side Wednesday night. Residents such as Patricia Matthews complained about menacing behavior, littering, public drinking, and traffic blockages she blamed on storm evacuees in apartments in her neighborhood. Now, let's get that laundry list again just so we can make sure what the priorities are in Houston. Menacing behavior, littering, public drinking, and traffic blockages that she blamed on people from New Orleans. Because, you know, before the hurricane, they had great, never was there a traffic jam in Houston, Texas. And never was there any litter. And nobody was ever drunk in public. Why, the entire city was just one big chapter of the Women's Temperance Union. We just want you to understand our situation in this community, and we appreciate the hard work that you've done, but we want the New Orleans residents to go home, Matthews said to applause from about 1,600 people at a Presbyterian church. We just want them to go home. I mean, we worried about, you know, we gave out our Christian charity. I mean, how long does it have to go on? Can't they go back home now? I mean, land sakes, I know that Barbara Bush said that they were better off here, but that don't mean we want them to stay, them people, you know? There is a thread to tonight's program. I haven't figured out what it is yet. Let's travel a little ways around the world. A huge beach party to honor late Queen frontman Freddie Mercury must be stopped because the Zanzibar-born rock star was gay, a Muslim leader said Thursday. Mercury, who died of AIDS in 1991, violated Islam with his flamboyant lifestyle, said Azan Khalid of Zanzibar's Association for Islamic Mobilization and Propagation. Ugh. That's why he was branded a queen. Ha ha, Khalid said, adding that anything linking Mercury with Zanzibar's Muslim population would be offensive. He said that a waterfront restaurant's plans for a September 2nd party honoring Mercury's birthday would be stopped. Oh, wait a minute. This isn't a government celebration of Freddie Mercury's birthday? This is just some damn bar on the waterfront that wants to have a birthday party?
Private party?
Privately? Look it. Bigotry is bigotry is bigotry is bigotry. The Gertrude Stein said a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. Well, this is no rose. This stinks. And the thing is, I've got more knots in this thread. It's almost 28 minutes past the hour. You can reach the program very easily, you know that. 877, the number 4, head on 877-443-2366. Email comes roaring into bob@headonradio.com. I just don't like the way things are. Oh God. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's no time for us. There's no place for. Oh,
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Make no mistake, there is, you know, there's no monopoly on bigotry and blind, stupid prejudice in the United States. It's frankly, I think in the last 5.5 years of George Bush, it has probably gotten worse worldwide. Because as he sits there and pokes the religious weirdos from other parts of the world with his long sticks, they just get weirder, and the next thing you know, you and me are caught up in a duel to the death between taste great and less filling. I'm the best bigot in the world. No, I am. 25 minutes before the hour, we're joined by our good friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, how you doing?
How are you today, Bob? I just saw White Rabbit posting here. It was Goldstein.
Yeah.
First, before I get into the CCC, which I want to say a few words about, first thing I want to say is for people to go by my column at powersandmorrison.com. I've got a link for a petition that they can sign. Also, we're organizing to try and form what is called the Watch Your Back group.
Absolutely, the Watch Your Back Coalition.
Right, so we can move it on up there, and we're going to get Mike Malloy on the air as soon as possible, one way or the other.
Well, there's a very short time before the election, and for him to be silenced at this point in time is nothing short of criminal.
Well, okay, now that I said that about Mike, because everyone's heard me before, so I've been talking the last 2 days about it.
Keep on talking it, Sarge.
So I'll move on to the CCC now, because I got a bone to pick with them, too.
Good.
And I'm glad we don't have any racism here in Mississippi. Gosh, we never have. And okay. But anyway, one name you left out in that group was Haley Barbour.
He
is a member of it, and so was his Republican forerunner as governor, Kurt Fordyce.
Yeah. How about Thad Cochran?
I don't know about Thad, but I know Lott is.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't just crazy liberal speculation, Sarge. These guys, you know, show up for the meetings. They've got the certificate suitable for framing and the little wallet card.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I've got a picture I run on my column of Lott with this manure eating grin.
Yeah.
And I got it from the CCC website. And, I'm going to tell you about these people. They are extremely, extremely dangerous people.
Yes, they are.
They will kill you. And I have fought them, and I'm still fighting them, and I'm going to fight them. If I get killed in the process, so be it. But you guys know how I went down, fighting for what's right.
Well, yeah, and see, people may not be familiar with the CCC as they ought to. And by God, Sarge, they ought to. This really is. It's the Klan without the sheets. It's the more respectable version of the Klan. It's the Klan in a three-piece suit, and they have little cocktail parties, and they take their wives, and they sit around and talk about the Negro problem.
And they're infiltrating some what was really good groups like the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They are infiltrating it. I think they've just about taken it over. Which, you know, should be just about historical things. But they've taken it into another realm, which is, you know, revolting.
Yeah.
One of their talk shows is called In the Political Cesspool or something like that. And I tried to contact the guy because I'm working on an article I'm going to write about them, and believe it or not, I couldn't get an email back from it. They will not reply because they run in their own circles.
I don't doubt it.
They are the scum of the earth. I mean, you can get out the barrel scraper and you can't get any lower than them. These people are, they're heathens. They're dirty. And just reading that letter, hey, I have heard stuff in my life that makes that sound like kindergarten stuff.
Oh, I know. I've heard stuff that makes it tame by comparison, but it's. I went back and forth, Sarge, on whether or not to read it because it's so vile, and it contains. But you can't read it and leave the words out and have it mean what it means.
You could. Wouldn't have anything to read then, because that's just the way these people are. They are scum, man. And I can remember. Back in the 60s, when a man and his wife may be walking down the street, and the guy was fussing with his wife, and he'd look over and see a black guy, and he'd turn around and say, "What are you looking at, N?" You know.
Yeah.
Except only he didn't use N.
Well, it wasn't 30 years ago that I could drive 20 that you could drive 20 miles from where I'm sitting right now. Right now, Sarge, and see a sign that said, "And don't let the sun set on you here." And that was Nicholas County, Somersville, West Virginia. Oddly enough, it's the place where, at least until recently, unless things have changed, Mel Gibson moved his daddy, Hutton Gibson.
We can't go back to those days. We just cannot go back to those days, because I had plenty of friends in the black community, and I thought more of them than I did a lot of whites around here. And it is wrong. There is so much talent from all walks of life, and to isolate one group is just getting rid of some of the most beautiful and wonderful people that you can possibly have. It doesn't matter whether it's white, blacks, Muslims, or whatever you want to name. When you isolate.
No, but on the other side of that, Sarge, I despise anyone who engages in any level of bigotry whatsoever. Again, whites, blacks, Muslims, you name it.
Yeah, I'm going to even say the guy's name, Gerald Bayless. He played in the Canadian Football League. He went to USM when I did, Southern Miss when I did. And I was deathly sick. I had dehydrated, and I was just about to die. And Gerald Bayless came to my rescue. He got me to the hospital. He took me into his home, and he told the coach, Herb's staying with me, and I don't care what anybody says. If you don't like it, I'll quit the team. And Coach Garner says, hey, Gerald, whatever you got to do, man, whatever you got to do. And now that was, you know, he came to my rescue. He didn't have to do that. If he had had the attitude of these sick bastards, then I would have died.
Yeah.
And, you know, these same people, they're the ones that if they had their butts out there on that battlefield, they wouldn't look around to see who was saving their life. They'd be grateful, and just as soon as they got back to safety, they'd spit in their face. That's how sorry these rat bastards are.
Yeah, yeah. Every word you say is true, Sarge.
I'm starting to sound like Malloy.
Well, that's channel him, brother. Channel him. But what is disconcerting to me, Sarge, is the fact that you know about the CCC. I know about the CCC. Enlightened people in the South know about the CCC. Do you figure that the guy who works 10, 12 hours a day, comes home, watches a little bit of TV, maybe gets a baseball game or a football game or whatever, and never sees any media coverage of what an unreconstructed, filthy racist George Allen is in Virginia, he's going to walk into that voting booth and think, well, he's a regular guy just like me.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's so wrong with the media, and that's why sites like PowersandMorrison.com, Truth Out, Crooks and Liars, TV News Lies, they're all so important because we have got to educate as many people as we can. We can't make the people who don't want to be educated learn. There's just no way. They're not going to learn. But the ones who want to learn, who are just not being revealed the truth, those are the ones we've got to reach out for.
I think we do. And, you know, I'm hard on Republicans, but, you know, we'll, you know, from time to time, I've proven it here, we're decent to people who call and disagree with us. We'll try to have a reasonable conversation. Sadly, and I learned this in my former incarnation on terrestrial radio in the fifth smallest radio market in America, you try to be decent to these people, and they just scream. That's all they got. They get they're just screamers. And you hate America. You know they don't. You can't discourse with
them. How would you like to be down here?
Oh Lord. Well, I mean, you know, I've kind of been down there.
Went to Alabama, so that's even worse.
Yeah, now.
I mean, the same mentality is just up down there. I think Alabama's actually takes it. Well, I don't know. They back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
They're about the same.
No, I mean, I grew up in it. You know, like I said, I went to a Southern Baptist church, and the Southern Baptist church was formed because they were afraid that brown people might be worshiping Jesus with them, you know. Because they didn't want to run the risk of going to that Negro heaven, those Southern Baptists.
Yeah, they'd go to their churches, but boy, don't let them come to ours.
Yeah, right.
But, hey, listen, I'm going to get off.
All right, Sarge, I thank you.
One more time. PowersandMorrison.com. Let's go by the sign-up petition. Let's get Mike back on the air as soon as we can.
I myself have signed it. Thanks a lot, Sarge.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
There's an easy link there at PowersandMorrison.com, among other places, Sarge's column. Click on it. Sign it. God, I think I was signer number 1,668 in less than 12 hours at that, or less than 24 hours at that time. So that says an abundance. Okay, Agnes, break now. Is that what you're telling me, dear? It's time to go to a break. Okay. Agnes has an iron skillet over here, and I don't want it swinging at me. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, this is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. John F. Kennedy once said, "Democracy is never a final achievement. It is a call to an untiring effort." From September 5th to September 21st, the citizenry of the United States of America are occupying the National Mall with an encampment aptly named Camp Democracy. Camp Democracy aims to bring together peace and justice movements to find strength in numbers and call attention to the abuses currently being perpetrated by the Bush administration and the Republican Congress. You've heard me say on my shows, it's your democracy too, and it's not a spectator sport. Well, now is the time to put your feet on the street and make your ideas known. Join us as we occupy the People's Park from September 5th to the 21st. Join us as we show the world what a true democratic society does when its leaders cease listening to its people. Join us as we raise our voices and call for fundamental change. For more information, including ride sharing, available rooms, and a schedule of events, please visit www.campdemocracy.org. That's www.campdemocracy.org. Thanks, and I'll see you in D.C.
Planet Check. Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing about
it. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Before the hour.
We'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound.
I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. This is the Head On Radio Network. Heard globally at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. My show also runs the day a day late at RadioPower.org, as does my good friend Bruce Birch, is starting tomorrow. 8 to 10 a.m. for Bruce Birch and 3 to 6 p.m. for me at radiopower.org. If you miss the show, you can go by there, stream it, or, of course, you know, there's the archives, there's podcasting. We do everything we possibly can to, let's use some of that fancy Republican boardroom language, to leverage the technological possibilities inherent in the internets. We want to make this available, make it easy, because it doing this empowers me. I hope it empowers you as well. I've got a story here Like I said, there's a thread. There's a thread. We'll figure out what the name of this thread is by the end of the night. This from the New York Times. Dateline Belgrade, Montana. Republican Senator Conrad Burns. Release the hounds. Excellent. Oh, that's Montgomery Burns. Sorry. Republican Senator Conrad Burns, whose recent comments have stirred controversy, says the United States is up against a faceless enemy of terrorists. Wait for it! Who, quote, drive taxi cabs in the daytime and kill at night. Now, there's just only one or two ways to take a statement like that. Welcome to stereotype land. That's right. America is up against a faceless enemy of terrorists who drive taxi cabs in the daytime and kill at night. This happened during a fundraiser, mind you. A fundraiser just day before yesterday, Wednesday, in Montana. And here's the disturbing part. It was said at this fundraiser where Conrad Burns was accompanied by none other than the First Lady, Laura Bush.
Lupe, get me a hillbilly highball.
Lord Tab and a margarita there, Mrs. Bush?
That's right.
Thank you.
You have any complaints?
None. They drive taxi cabs in the daytime and kill at night. Now, this is a progressive liberal show, so consequently, you guys get the code. And guess what? His right wing, you know, his right wing followers get it too. They drive taxi cabs by day and kill at night. What? Now, I haven't been there. But can somebody tell me a little bit about the cabbies in Billings, Montana? Or Helena? I'm guessing, well, then again, I mean, pretty lily white up there in Montana, isn't it? This is an assault by Conrad Burns on Andy Kaufman and Danny DeVito? Taxi? No, it's not, and you know better. Let's go to the phones. Mitch joins us from California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program.
How are you?
I'm all right. You?
Is this phone popping at all? I was talking to someone a little while ago, and they were hearing popping sound.
Yeah, it was a little crackly, but you're sounding good now.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I just calling up. Sarge nailed it. You know, he had the right word for these people, rat bastards.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no lower thing on earth than a rat. You know, I mean, figuratively and literally. I mean, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, you could be forgiven any number of sins, but being a rat, that was it. You ratted somebody out. You know, I mean, that was like you just didn't do that. You know, you didn't
yeah.
run people in school. You know, when the teacher left the classroom. And you didn't rat out people, you know what I mean? You minded your own business, you know what I mean? And unless it was you I'm talking about. I mean, there were times when you had, you know, but I mean, a rat is a rat, and these people are rats. I mean, they're vermin. They could be squashed underfoot, you know? And after what happened to Mike yesterday, I'm worried about him because, you know, this is a terrible thing. I mean, that Air America has been infiltrated, obviously, and neutered, and now they have this... They're doing what Steve Colbert is called truthiness. Now you get the truthiness. You know,
not real truth, just truth, just a little truthy.
Yeah, you know, Al tells you everything on the surface, but he does. Al's never going to tell you what rat bastards we've been as a country sometimes to other people. He won't tell you about that. You know, he's buddies with these guys. You know, he goes to their parties. You know, I mean, that's cool. And I'm like, Al, he's probably a sweet guy, but I mean. God, Michael is the one of the voices crying in the wilderness, man. You know.
Yeah.
And he was one of the original voices, the Godfather, man. The guy, like I spoke to earlier, the Godfather
yeah.
of liberal radio, man. Don Michael.
You know, you mentioned that, and it takes me somewhere else, Mitch, because there's another great line in the Godfather, Abe Vigoda.
Mm-hmm.
Was he Tessio? Was that
Tessio? Yeah. Tessio, yeah.
Where they're taking him away because he's been caught.
Right. He wants to make it. He wants to make the deal. Right. Good.
And he looks and he says, "Tell Michael I always liked him. Mm-hmm. It was only business."
Exactly. Oh, oh, oh. I just got to chill.
You know, I mean, when you say, we got to let you go. It's a financial decision.
Well, you know what? I was watching Charlton. Speaking of Charlton Heston, I was watching him yesterday. It's one of my favorite movies growing up was Ben-Hur. And now he got the big TV. I wanted to see the kids see Ben-Hur. And they watched it. And there's a line where Miss Alice says to Charlton Heston, "You're either with me or you're against me." And Charlton Heston goes, "If that's the choice, then I'm against you." And I said, "Oh man, this is perfect. We got to get this cutback clip out. That's the final, the scene where he gives Miss Fowler a horse or whatever it is, And and then Miss Fowler, betrays him and all that. So it's just a great scene, But oh man, to see Charlton Heston be on the other end of it, I tell you, man, I worry for Mike though. You know what I mean? This is something I saw on the whatever. I don't usually go into chat rooms and that kind of stuff. But I did today because I went into the Mark Levine show and I just started doing that thing. And people were saying that one guy says that Mike had told people to go out and get guns and get ready for the revolution. I mean, some outrageous baloney that Mike would never say. I've heard Mike say that he does have guns and that if push came to shove, he'd have to protect his family. He would. And that's all I've ever heard Michael say.
Yeah, well, and why is it somehow dangerous for liberals to have guns, but for the members of the CCC, the Concerned Citizens Council, to have a house full? That's not so scary. It's only when the liberals are armed that's when you got to worry.
Yeah, you got to worry when wussies have guns, because we're all wussies. I like them to go to a bar in Brooklyn, a nice Irish bar in Brooklyn, and go in there and tell them all the and say Democrats are wussies and see what happens. You know what I mean? The Democrats are not wussies. Politicians are. The politicians are wussies, but the people are the politicians aren't going to save us.
No.
We're going to have to do it ourselves, because these guys, we had a few guys like Feingold, the guys so we can count on, but for the most part, most of these guys, I give up on these guys. You know what I mean? I mean, they've had so many chances over the last few months to really capitalize, to put forth an idea, to show vision, and all those things we used to expect from people like John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy.
Well, that's what I've been saying for so long, Mitch. This country is aching. It is aching for a leader. And to one extent or another, I think that was part of the response that you got when we found out what happened to Mike, because whether he wanted it or not, and he always said, I don't have any answers, that kind of thing, and I got to quit talking about him in the past tense. That's just rude. But he said that, or I think that people responded to him, rather, Mitch, because it sounded like what a leader should say.
Mm-hmm.
It was visceral, and it was touching, and it was real. And it was inspiring. And when he got mad, it was because somehow or another, it's because he's channeling something that's going on for the rest of us. I worry, poor Marge. I listen to Mike and Marge in Indiana and Brother Sky Blue. I worry about them. It's what happens on good radio. You create a family.
It just occurred to me that it might be a good thing for somebody who's really into researching. Go to all the major cities in America and see how many people, missing persons reports have been had over the months, and if they've increased greatly or not. I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of missing person reports, more than there has been in the past. I think people are disappearing. I know people in Veterans for Peace who are like members come out here and they were here every week and we can't find them now, And they lived up in Seattle, but outside of Seattle, in the mountains, gone. And things are happening behind the scenes. I don't even know what's going on. I mean, it scares the hell out of me. But you know what? I'm ready to start collecting some teeth. You know what I mean? I'm really getting to the point where I'm really getting fed up. I mean, I'm just up here with it, with the ball. And did you see the interview with, what was it, Brian Williams and Bush?
Oh, yeah, the walking interview.
Incoherent. And then right after that, I would have voted for Keith Olbermann for president.
Well, I know. Well, the thing about the walk. Well, we got to go, Mitch. But keep listening because I'd like to make mention of that. The business because Brian Williams is being attacked for that interview now.
Oh yeah, because he asked a few questions. Oh yes, was that famous? Oh yeah.
He wasn't sufficiently deferential toward the king.
I read three Shakespeare's. I mean, I didn't know there were three Shakespeare's. I only thought there was one.
I'm more than halfway done.
Yeah, really.
But Jesus, I know.
He read Shakespeare. Will, Bill, you know, Will, Joe, and Pete, you know? all three Shakespeare's.
Yeah, three of them.
Yeah. I read three Shakespeare's.
All right, thanks so much, Mitch. You have a great evening, all right?
Love you, brother. Ken.
Bye now.
Peace.
We'll be back after the news. Jump right in if you want to. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Is the Quality News Network. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. The latest AP Ipsos poll reveals that only 1 in 3 Americans approves of the president's leadership. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. President Bush said today, quote, there must be consequences for Tehran. Earlier today, Iran's president insisted that his country would not accept bullying. At the United Nations today, the U.S. Ambassador John Bolton announced that the UN Security Council must now be ready to impose sanctions on Iran. He added that unanimity on the council was not necessary to move ahead. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, most within a half hour, including 2 car bombs, left at least 51 people dead. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. More than 126 Iraqis were wounded. Since Sunday, 250 people have been killed in and around Baghdad. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. There were no reports of damage. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports that the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. In Norway, 2 Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. In Mexico, along the Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John. And along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to set broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly for some time to come. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. LG Electronics and Sharp expect a 20-30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Mortgage rates fell for the sixth straight week. Freddie Mac reports the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has dropped to 6.44%. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand. Ford has owned the British sports car line since 1987 as part of its European luxury unit, which includes Land Rover and Volvo. And BP officials say they're optimistic that Prudhoe Bay oil production may be returned to normal levels earlier than expected. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 2 points. The Nasdaq is also down 2. The S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Minutes past the hour as we enter the second hour of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's go straight to the phones. Dave is calling from Eureka, California. Hey, Dave, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Well, Bob, I wanted to let you know how much I'm growing to appreciate having this horn network and how much you people try to offset. So much of America is being deliberately disinformed, deceived, misled, or being sold a bill of goods on much of this right-wing radio. So wherever there is an answer that's willing to say, no, this is reality. I value that immensely.
Well, I think that's what we have to do here, Dave, because there are plenty of sources out there for disinformation, for outright lying. I don't know if you've seen this or heard about this, but apparently on the other side of the aisle or other side of the spectrum, whatever you want to call it, the Flush Flimball came out and said that obesity is the fault of poor people. And you know, it's one in a long sordid string of just the evil that flows out of the right wing, and the attacks never cease. It's an attack on people. We're talking about attacks on people. They've gotten down to where they're attacking people for how they eat. George Allen in Virginia is attacking people literally for the color of their skin and for videotaping him. Conrad Burns is attacking taxi drivers. Working people. People out doing their jobs, and I don't know where it ends if somebody's not out there telling truth.
Who was it earlier, I think, today, or was it last night, that was saying that for very few things should we be willing to actually sacrifice our life for it, but to prevent Nancy Pelosi from becoming Speaker of the House, we should be willing to sacrifice our life to that answer.
Well, check it out. Dig it, Dave. I've got a story in the stack here. The American Family Association, the gang of weirdos, they have decided to attack CBS. Do you remember the documentary CBS made that was narrated by Robert De Niro, the footage that was shot on 9/11? Do you remember that thing? It aired a couple of years ago. Well,
I usually see that kind of thing on Free Speech TV.
The CBS is going to re-air that, Dave. And this time through, they've told the world that they're not going to edit out the words of those firefighters and their cops and those cops because they were in a hellish situation and their words deserve to be heard. Well, the American Family Association is attacking CBS because CBS is going to air the words of those heroic working people who were working and doing their jobs on 9/11 and losing their lives. But it's not enough for the American Family Association. They're going to attack CBS for airing the last actual words of some of those people.
Not willing to go along with the cover-up that they expect should be done. That's interesting that they'd be that blatant about it.
Well, you know, but there's no end to it. You know, Ford's in financial trouble. These people are doing everything they can to put Ford workers out of jobs.
And blame it on Clinton or Carter, I suppose.
Sure. Or blame it on gay people, blame it on, you name it. But they're attacking people who are getting up and going to work every day.
It is a country in which we are being severely disinformed, and still some people buy into it. I'm wondering, what will we do if come next November, if the polls do clearly show Democrats in a lead by 70% or more, and wherever there are voting machines, the vote goes to the Republicans, and wherever there is not voting machines, then the Democrats win big time. But it's enough wins on the machines that the Republicans squeak out another victory. And what are we going to do then, you know? And we're going to have Limbaugh hollering at us, get over it. It was an honest election. What are you, bad sports? You know, we're going to have that. But what are we going to do if they pull this yet another time on us?
I have no answer for that, Dave. I have no answer for that whatsoever. I know that there was a spirit of activism that moved in this country 35, 40 years ago, and those people would tell you immediately what the answer was. And the answer is to go to Washington, D.C. in our millions and demand justice. You know, that's eventually what brought around about the end of the Vietnam War. It helped bring down Richard Nixon when he was caught attacking the Constitution of the United States on the, you know, boots on the ground activism. It's part of the reason that we're proud to be participating in Camp Democracy. We're going to be there September the 8th on Labor Speaks Out Day on the Mall. We'll broadcast live because we have to back up what we talk about and what we advocate. We have to back it up with solid action, and we're doing everything in our power to do that, Dave.
That is so good that you guys are doing that. It's one of the reasons I'm coming to value you immensely. You're doing a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you very kindly, Dave. I tell you what, we've got to move on. I've got to hit a break. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
I've become a regular real quick here.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
We really appreciate it. Bye now. All right, when we come back, more of your calls. The phone number is 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
One for all. One for all. It's all for one.
Let's start a union. Call it every human. It's one for all and all for one. Let's live in unison. Call it every city sun. It's one for all and all for one.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
This is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
One on talk, Aminka.
Amina Makurira.
Watasinua Okinaiwa.
Hada Lanyahdutli.
It won't happen to me.
Did you know there are 1 billion teenagers in the world today? Think about it. That's 1 in 6 people. What if they don't know how to protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? What if they do know how, but don't have the means to protect themselves? The decisions young people make today affect all of us. Help ensure that people have access to the information and services they need to build a safe and healthy future. We're Population Action International, working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. .org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
This is Bruce Birch of the Bruce Birch Radio Program. On September 8th, the Head On Radio Network will be broadcasting live from Camp Democracy, a citizens' encampment on the National Mall intended to bring together broad sections of our society to speak out against the abuses of the Bush administration and call for an end to the occupation of Iraq. Please join us for this very special broadcast from 5 until 10 p.m. Eastern, 2 to 7 Pacific on September the 8th. Better yet, come join us in person. The future of our democracy may well depend on our actions today. For more information, please visit campdemocracy.org.
And a half minutes after the hour here at the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid, and we're going straight back to the phones because, this is conversation radio. Joined by, I hope, a new friend, Paul, calling from Detroit. Hey, Paul, you there?
I am.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'll keep this short, and I'd like to proceed it with a quote from Buckminster Fuller.
Always a good choice.
You never change the existing reality by fighting it. Instead, create a new model that makes the old one obsolete.
That makes so much sense in light of what we're trying to do here, Paul.
Great. Then you'll appreciate my very simple message. I'm asking everybody, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm asking people just to make this image change. Give credit where credit is due. Put a face on the war. Bush war. Want more?
Beautiful.
Not some brown-skinned Islamo-fascist or some invading Hispanic horde. Bush war.
Want more?
Yeah.
You've said that's perfect. That is, and see, I think about things like that because we've been accused on our side, Paul, of not being able to come up with appropriate bumper sticker levels of communication, because apparently in America that's how we have to communicate now.
Exactly. That's why they pay the think tank.
Yeah. And, that's like so many people literate, intelligent progressives such as we have listening here and sharing their time here on the horn understand that, for instance, when you look at a haiku, a haiku can say more in what, 12 syllables?
Yeah.
Than you might get said in a 250 word ode.
Sure, this is basic imagery. It's so simple. Not Iraq war, not war on terrorism, Bush war. Use it in a mixed group and watch the neocons grimace.
Well, it'll sort the crowd in a minute, won't it?
Yeah, and it puts a face on the war.
See, on this program, Paul, we have long referred to the first Gulf War as Bush War One, and this is Bush War Two.
Yeah, Bush War. Want more?
Hear, hear.
Long live our republic.
Long live the republic, Paul. Thank you so much. I hope we'll hear from you again. Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Bush War. Want more? Anybody want to go to Cafe Press and design that one up? Bush War. Want more? I want to back up now just for a moment to Conrad Burns, because there's something incredibly distressing in this. Well, hell, it's all distressing. Who am I trying to kid? But he said this in front of the First Lady of the United States. And all is silent. It's nothing but crickets. It's nothing but crickets from the First Lady's office. She hasn't denounced it. She hasn't gotten away from it. However, let's see. Jason Klint, K-L-I-N-D-T, he tried to explain it away by saying, the point is that there are terrorists that live amongst us, not only here, but in Britain and the entire world. Whether they are taxi drivers or investment bankers, the fact remains that this is a new type of enemy.
Hooey.
What a bunch of stuff. It wasn't about taxi drivers and investment bankers. You know damned well what he meant. In the days immediately following 9/11, weren't there two or three Sikhs killed? Wasn't one of them a taxi driver? Because right-wing monsters assumed that because they had their heads wrapped in a turban, that somehow or another they must be philosophically, spiritually, or nay, even biologically related to Osama bin Laden. Do you remember that? There is a very stark choice coming to America come November. It couldn't be any plainer. You have racists, bigots, people motivated by fear and prejudice. That's probably a little bit redundant, because prejudice is largely a function of fear, but never mind. And on the other hand, you have people who want to bring about change, people who want to make America truly secure, as opposed to this phony baloney, ginned up, dummied up nonsense that we get from the likes of Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush and Dick Cheney and that crowd. And throughout this article, nothing but crickets from the office of the First Lady, who stood there and smiled as Conrad Burns said this nation was under attack by taxi drivers by day, killers by night. God, it sounds like something from the slick cover of one of those pulp magazines, the true crime fiction. Taxi driver by day, Islamo-fascist killer by night. Do you have the wherewithal to help the rest of this nation reject that? These aren't marching orders, but for God's sake, start the conversation. Take the conversations that you engage in here and take them out into your ordinary everyday lives. Because you know what? After the elections in November, we're going to know whether or not this nation is going to be run by people who want peace in the world or people who want blood and death and hatred and bigotry. And the choice is that stark. And Laura Bush, Lupe, bring me a Lord Tab and a margarita. Just sits there with that pasted on smile like she's the love child of the Joker or something. Smilex. Yeah, that's right. She's a Republican woman. Yeah, it's like St. Paul talking to the women in the early church. You know, you should remain silent in politics, Laura.
Bob, don't you understand? I'm a librarian.
Yeah, it's you're a librarian.
No, it's not my place to vocalize what I
objections to racism and hate and bigotry. Yeah, I got it.
I stand behind my husband.
Who stands behind, well, never mind. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by Brad calling from Germany. Brad, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you again.
Well, hey, Bob, I try to listen, listen to you guys on streaming because it's the middle of the damn night here, but I'm so upset by this mic thing that, you know, I woke up, you guys are running in the background while I was sleeping, and I heard Herb Phelps, and I thought, well, it's time to call in, and because I woke up somewhere in the middle of your show, Bob, if I say something that's already been discussed or whatever, let me know and just stop me right there. But one thing that I thought that might well be done on this mic thing is Air America makes it pretty hard, really, to write to them. Even with an email. And I did some searching last night when this thing first came up, and I've got one street address for Air America, and I think we ought to load their mailroom up with paper mail, too.
Not a bad idea.
Somebody, pardon?
Not a bad idea at all. Because one of the things that I've noticed, Brad, is that, I found out earlier today that Air America has set up an entirely separate phone line with an entirely separate recording device so that people can call and give their entirely separate objections to the way that Mike Malloy was treated so that that entirely separate telephone line can be entirely separately dumped into the trash at the end of each day.
That doesn't surprise me. I even tried to locate what the names of the owners were, and it's pretty difficult. But I do have an address here.
Okay.
If somebody hasn't given that out, I'd like to go ahead and
do please.
It to you. It's the Air America Radio, 641 6th Avenue, and that's the 6th Avenue is spelled out S-I-X-T-H, 4th floor, New York, New York. 10011, and I think everybody that takes the time to write an email can also take the time to print the damn thing out and put it in an envelope and send it off to them, and let's just stack their mailroom too.
It'll be the best 39 cents anybody spent in a while, most likely.
Well, from here, it's going to cost me about, I don't know, a little more than a buck, probably. But
yeah.
They will be getting a nasty letter from me just by the whole way it was done. And I also, I tried to contact Peter Werby on his website and ask him not to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hit the contact button, it says unavailable. So either his website was loaded up with people like me trying to send him that message, or maybe he just got tired of it too.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Brad, there are people out there that have been incredibly nasty to Peter over this.
I don't want to be nasty to him.
No, no, no. But he, Mike, I don't know if you saw it, but Mike has posted some comments regarding Peter at his website. And he said, you know, cut Peter some slack. He's in an awful situation. And, you know, Mike was in the same situation, only reversed, when IE America slipped the shiv to Peter.
Really? I haven't been with you guys that long so to know all the history. And I did see that on Mike's thing, and I wasn't going to be unkind to Peter because he is good. And I also wrote to Tom Hartman because I think, you know, Tom's a big talker about supporting unions and supporting labor and this, that, and the other thing, but he came on last night for Mike, and when everybody was expecting Mike, and I think he could have at least mentioned it. And
please bear in mind, Brad, and these are the kinds of Hobson's choices that get handed to on-air talent in circumstances like that. I'm speculating. I freely admit that. But I can well imagine that somebody could have said to Tom, look, you're going to, you know, suddenly, you know, you're filling in for Mike, and if you say a word about it, you'll get the same treatment.
Well, I don't know what their personal situations are, but I don't think it probably hurt Tom too bad. You know, he's doing pretty well. But anyhow, I did want to give you that address, and I had Head On Radio tuned on all day today. I heard some very interesting discussions of the Nagasaki effect. And
isn't Dr. Bill just amazing?
That was pretty interesting, to tell you the truth. I was trying to work on something else, and I really couldn't concentrate to get this other thing done. And that was it was very good. And I don't know what I've missed on the program so far. Is there anything extra going on besides the petition at this point?
No. Mainly it's the petition. Mainly it's contacting Air America, trying to be supportive of Mike. I know that Mike did a live appearance on I can't remember her show right now, but it was a progressive talk radio program earlier today. And basically, from what I found and what I was able to read about. He's still just just absolutely dumbfounded, dumbstruck, stultified.
Well, they were going to renew his contract.
Right. Well, they specifically told him to announce that his contract had, that he had received a contract, and that they were making their return to the airwaves of New York City. They were told that.
Well, that's sleazy management kind of practices. This thing goes on all the time. I guess he's in a state of shock. Is he going to be able to pay his mortgage?
I don't know.
I
just don't know, Brad. I hope to goodness he will be.
If there's any way that I don't know. I'm disabled, retired, and I don't have a lot of money, but I'd certainly. Any money that I would have given to Air America for their premium or to anything like that, I'd be glad to make a small contribution monthly. If a number of us could all do that.
I don't know if Mike is
afloat and getting back on the damn radio.
I don't know if Mike is hearing this, but if I was in the same circumstances as what he is now, I would be touched absolutely from the top of my head down to the bottom of my shoes. The outpouring of words like what you just said, Brad, and those said by many, many others, the same sorts of things have been flowing into my email box. It tells me about the fundamental decent goodness of our side of this debate. You know, it means that people aren't just listening to someone like Mike. Well, there's no one like Mike. So people aren't just listening to Mike and it's going in one ear and one out and out the other. This is real, live, honest to God, caring humanity.
Bob it really has. I think it's upset a lot of people. I mean, I've never ever gone into a chat room. And last night I was just briefly in the Powers and Morrison chat room and got to figure out how to get signed on there and get myself a password, which I haven't worked out yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little slow, but
well, the main trick is
there are people discussing this, and I don't know what we can do about it with Air America, but
I'll be quite honest. I don't think you can do anything with Air America about it, and that again, I'm speculating. But when management makes decisions like this, management doesn't like to back down. It's possible that they will. Maybe the petition will have some effect, but I think. How do you go back into a relationship like that? How can you ever feel like you're having an honest, at arm's length, employer-employee relationship with somebody who does you like that?
Well, if he signs a contract and they got to pay him anyway, then, you know, he's down there in Atlanta. He doesn't have to see these SOBs that did this. So, I mean, he'd be, at least in his particular position, where he's not got to go into a studio somewhere in New York every night, he could probably live with that. But, I think as a matter of pride, if I were Mike, even if they offered him a job, I hope he's able to find something somewhere else and just get back on the radio. And tell you the truth, I would love to see Mike in a slot against Springer or against Franken, or against any of these other soft sell clown.
Schultz.
God. Well, I've never heard Ed Schultz just because I heard Mike talking about him, and I thought, well, I don't need to listen to this guy, you know. So, but I would just love to see him on a powerful network somewhere against either Franken or Springer. He'd eat him alive.
There's no doubt about it. Mike is as brilliant, Mike's as brilliant in the daytime as he is at night, Brad. And by the way, I've got an invitation for you. As far as chat rooms are concerned, let me tell you, whether it's Powers and Morrison or the Horn Chat, either one, they're both powered by Java. I don't know how familiar you are, but as long as you've got Java loaded on your machine, you should be able to register and get in either way. And all the people,
I was able to get in last night, but it just keeps doing me as a guest, and it says, with a registered password, and I can't seem to find a place where I could get a registered password, but I'll work that out.
Yeah, or come on by the headonradionetwork.com chat room. There's some of the Powers and Morrison folks. We sort of cross-pollinate between rooms, and you will be more than welcome, and there are folks saying, tell him to come over. Tell Brad to come on in. Yeah, so.
Well, it's the middle of the night, so I'm probably going to go back to bed when I get off.
Can't blame you, Brad.
Phone call, Bob. But has anything else been said about the actual reasons why they did this? Because it's clearly not financial.
No, that's all that's out there is that it's financial. But as I noted last night, Brad, when they say in radio that you were canned for financial reasons, that's sort of like when the coroner looks down at a guy who's just been shot in the head and says he died of heart failure. Everybody dies of heart failure, you know?
Yeah.
And in the end, in commercial broadcast media, all decisions are financial in nature.
Well, has Mike been in touch with you or anybody else? Is he all right?
I assume he's okay. I know he's talked to a couple of people. I just sent off an email just offering best wishes and good energies and all of that stuff. I haven't heard from him.
Everybody's probably done that.
But I imagine he's swamped. I know where I would be if this happened to me, and it wouldn't be healthy. But
it doesn't hurt to go down to the local bar and have a couple drinks.
I love the way you think, Brad.
Well, here in Germany, it's the way of life, So we have little bars on every corner. It's part of the whole lifestyle here. So I hope Mike gets himself a good stiff one and with the young daughter and everything. It's just.
You got to step back. You got to take a breath. You got to regroup, and you got to know that it's going to work out. Because
well, he's got a lot of support, Bob.
Yeah, and talent like Mike's will not be left to lay fallow.
Well, I certainly hope not. I feel a loss in my life over here you guys are the only radio. Or the only news I get out of America either comes from Head On or it comes from Air America. I'm just not listening to Air America anymore. The heck with them, I feel like I've lost half of my capability to receive news out of America. I had actually gotten on Mike's show, I guess it was last Thursday or Friday, and spoke to him about, I had planned to come home to vote this year. I was going to fly home to vote because it's that important. And I voted absentee in 2004, and that was in Florida, so we know what happened to those absentee ballots.
Oh, well, yeah.
And I was coming home in person that if we had to go into the streets, I was going to be there. But they've made flying virtually impossible now, to get out of Europe, anywhere from Europe to America. They're going to strip search me
Kind of makes you wonder what would happen if you showed up at the airport in a pair of flip-flops and a Speedo, how much of a terrorist can you be dressed like that?
Well, exactly, and they're turning planes around, four, five, six planes a day, and they're going to keep doing this, I thought, well, okay, I'd much rather be there to vote now, but to go through the hassle and to be... put through that kind of thing. I thought, well, maybe if we win the election, which we will win the election, it's just a matter of if the votes are counted. then I'd come back in January. But if we don't, I'm really seriously thinking of giving up my American citizenship. And I've never thought of that. I've always, since I've, you know, moved over here, I have a German girlfriend, and I'm kind of settled in here in Europe anyway. But I've never even thought of giving up my passport, my citizenship. But if they stay in power after this election, I'm ready to give up. And that's a sad thing because
I don't know how to respond to that, Brad. To be painfully honest, I don't know how to respond to that because I am such a stubborn, just mad. Ask Agnes. I am maddeningly, achingly, stupidly, mulishly stubborn, and.
Well, but
I know that feeling. If
keep me from actually doing it, but I swear to God, Bob, it really, I'm so disgusted. And you know, now we're going to bomb Iran. You know, every third or fourth person here is Iranian. The best restaurants in town are the Iranians. They're nice people.
Yes,
and you know, the same thing with Muslims. Better than 33% of the people in my neighborhood, at least one in three in my neighborhood here, are Muslim. You know, there's just not a problem. They're quiet. They're good neighbors. I had a cookout last year. We had a couple of the families in the neighborhood. You know, they had a real old American cookout here in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
Big old Weber grill.
Oh yeah!
I invited all my German and I guess they're not all Germans. I invited all my neighbors, these people are just like us, and they're demonizing them. And now I hear they're after the taxi drivers. So, my goodness, you know.
Well, this is I fully understand, Brad, and I halfway agree with what you're talking about when you say that you're ready to give up. This is November is and because it's a congressional and not a national election, I think changes the character of it. This is a district by district, state by state referendum on exactly what we want America to be. And it and the choices could not be more stark. It is repression. It is fascism. It is authoritarianism. All of the worst possible stripe versus the continuation of a noble experiment set forth by the likes of Jefferson and Adams and Franklin and Washington and Madison, Monroe, that crowd. That is that the choice is that profound. I mean, what am I supposed to say, Brad? What are you supposed to say if, knowing everything we now know about George Allen, what are we supposed to say if to the people of Virginia, if they return that racist, that filthy, god-awful bigot, that sadist, what are we supposed to think of Virginia if they do that?
My ex-wife lives in Fredericksburg, Bob. I lived in Virginia for the whole 21 years that I worked for the federal government in Washington. I grew up, my dad was military. We got every second tour, my dad got sent back to the Pentagon. And so my early childhood was in Springfield, Virginia, right on the edge of Washington. Later I moved down to Woodbridge, a little further down 95. Then I moved to Fredericksburg where two of my daughters still live. I moved my son over here, to Germany where I could, give him a little bit better upbringing and education than what he was getting in the schools there. And I've tried to get my daughters to come over, although the one daughter is now graduated from college and is working for the man, Pennsylvania County Sheriff's Department as a parole officer. So I at least she's doing some good with kids, trying to keep kids out of jail. So I don't feel too bad about that. But, I know the people of Virginia, and I will be surprised if they don't vote for this guy, George Allen, because Virginia has been a right-wing state for many, many years, and I don't think that's going to change. Maybe with this latest thing with Allen,
Yeah, but again, Brad, it's not just Virginia. What do I say about Pennsylvania if they send Rick Santorum back to the Senate? What do I say? What do I say about Connecticut?
That's not a possibility, is it?
Yes, especially since the Republican
18 or 20 points.
Yeah, but the Republican Party gave a horse gag and load of money to the Green candidate to split the Democrat vote.
Yeah, but didn't a court rule against his petition or something? And
well, I may have lost out on that part, but Santorum,
the guy they're running against him is.
But Brad, we're talking about electronic machine voting here, okay? So I don't write anybody off. What do I say about Pennsylvania if they return Santorum? What do I say about Connecticut? Connecticut, for God's sake, if they send Joe Lieberman back to the Senate.
I hope this doesn't happen, Bob. But the other thing I just want to say, and we've been on for a long time, and there's probably a lot of people waiting to talk to you tonight about this mic thing and about various other things. But the one thing about them not flying too, besides all the top security thing, I'm not sure that these people won't pull an October surprise by maybe have to shoot down a couple airliners, and I didn't want to be on one of them.
I can't blame you. I cannot blame you in the least, and I do not disagree with you, because when they came out with their great big spooky terror plot in London, and they ran it up the flagpole here, and nobody saluted, Brad. Well,
no
they
passports, Mike. No tickets. There's very little that I can see that indicates that they had any chemicals or anything other than bomb-making fluids, and then they mention hydrogen peroxide. Well, I have a bottle of hydrogen peroxide here, so God, I hope if they're listening that they don't send the German cops over to get me.
Well, and see, so much of that was deconstructed, Brad. You the possibility of using of reducing hydrogen peroxide to a sufficient level to make a competent explosive, you'd probably get it's worse than trying to cook meth. You'd probably blow yourself up in the process.
These guys would probably have to mix this up in the bathroom on an airplane. Just the whole thing was so absurd. And the British people, well, you've got that one fellow that calls in, he's probably already told you. The British people are absolutely irate that America forced them in some way or another to announce this or make these arrests a week early. And, of course, Blair went along with it because he's in as bad a political situation as Bush is. But the thing with Britain is they really can get rid of Tony Blair. I'm not sure we're going to be able to get rid of these guys. So, in England they don't have the Diebold machine so far as I know. And they'll be able to get rid of their government. But so long as we have what we have and can't get rid of these guys, that's the key right there. It doesn't matter what the English do. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a kind of an arrogant attitude, I guess, to think that only America matters. But my German girlfriend reminds me all the time when I get so upset about what's going on. Well, America's not the only country in the world. There's other countries. Yeah, but Karen, if we decide to bomb somebody, who's going to stop us? And, Bob... Hey, it was good talking to you again. I'm sure that the other people are probably getting bored waiting to get on.
don't sweat it. Don't sweat it at all, Brad. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Anytime. This is conversation radio. I'm not in a hurry with anybody because everybody has expertise to offer.
Well, I don't know about expertise, but I'm so upset about this mic thing that I thought, as long as I was laying here half awake and had you guys on the radio, I thought I'd get up and give you a call. And, well, what the heck, it's almost 3 o'clock in the morning here. I think I'll get up and cook me some breakfast. So.
Hey, sounds good. Sounds mighty good.
Bob, listen, take care of yourself. Take care of Agnes and the children. And if you have an opportunity to talk to Mike or Kathy, just let them know that everybody is behind them, and
I certainly will.
If there's anything that I could do, like I say, I'd be glad to make a small contribution anytime on a monthly basis to help Mike get his mortgage paid and get the guy get back on the air. And so,
that is a level of decency that I don't think exists in the right wing.
And also, don't forget that address I gave you. Everybody should write in.
Yeah, 641 6th Avenue, New York, New York, 10011.
You got it, sir.
All right, thank you, Brad.
All right, listen, have a good day, Mike. Bob.
Good.
Thinking about Mike and talking to Bob.
Aber einen guten Morgen, mein Freund.
Ja, mach's gut, gell, tschüss.
Danke. All right, 10 minutes before the hour. This, like I said, there's a thread, and we're going to figure out what the theme of the thread is as we work through the evening. What am I supposed, honest to God, I reiterate, what am I supposed to think of the state of Virginia if a majority of Virginians send George Allen back to the Senate? Knowing full well what George Allen thinks of working people. Knowing that George Allen is a supporter of so-called right to work, which is actually right to starve, right to race to the bottom. Knowing that George Allen is an unreconstructed racist and a bigot. Knowing that George Allen is a sadist. Knowing that George Allen abused his sister as a child. Knowing everything we know about George Allen, what am I supposed to think about the state of... it's a Commonwealth, by God. What am I supposed to think about the Commonwealth of Virginia if that man, that filthy, filthy, dirty, ugly, hateful man, gets returned to the Senate? And explain to me, please, what I'm supposed to think of the state of Tennessee if they send the Bob Croker or Choker or Chucker or... Oh, careful, Bob. To the Senate as opposed to Harold Ford Jr., a genuinely decent human being. What am I supposed to think of Tennessee? Help me out here. What am I supposed to think of Montana if Conrad Burns, that crazy, crazy old... my God, the guy stood and swore at firefighters who had just saved his lousy hide and protected the homes of... These people were from Virginia. They flew all the way to Montana to fight a fire, and he cussed them out in the airport. What am I supposed to think of the people of Montana if they return that kind of a freak to the United States Senate? What am I supposed to think? Connecticut? Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee. Oh, he's a moderate Republican, Bob. You better lay off of him. He's a moderate. Jesus, we need all the moderates we can get. Screw him! Pardon me for my biblical upbringing, but I would that ye were cold or hot, but ye are neither. Ye are lukewarm, and I will spit you out of my mouth. That is moderate, baby! And Lincoln Chafee is lukewarm. What am I supposed to think if that Alito voter gets sent back to the United States Senate? What am I supposed to think of the people of Rhode Island? What do you do for the poor people of Nebraska who have as a choice Ben Nelson, a right-wing conservative uber freak who calls himself a Democrat and his opposition, and he may be beaten by a guy who's even more of a freak? What am I supposed to think of the... My God, my heart bleeds for decent people in Nebraska. They've no choice. And it repeats itself time after time all over this country. The second district in West Virginia, the second congressional district, whose seat is presently occupied by the daughter of the dirtiest politician ever to set foot in the state of West Virginia. And she's Shelley Moore Cameltoe, the Capito, and she's Arch Moore in a bad wig, and the apple falleth not far from the tree, and the acorn taketh root in the shade of its, you know, that junk. She has stood by when our troops... I hate the war. I revere so many of the people who are fighting it. She has stood by an attempt was made to extend insurance coverage for National Guard families, and she said, oh, no, baby, not for you. What do I think of the people of the 2nd District of the state of West Virginia if they return a nasty, nasty woman who took more money from Tom DeLay than any other member of Congress with the exception of one? What am I supposed to think of the people of the 2nd District of West Virginia if they return Shelley Moore Capito to the House of Representatives instead of a good, upright, decent, honest human being like Mike Callahan? What am I supposed to think of them? These are real-world dichotomies. These are real-world choices. These are choices that have real-world impact. With a Shelley Moore in Congress, with a Joe Lieberman in the Senate, with a George Allen in the Senate, with a Rick Santorum in the Senate, with a Conrad Burns in the Senate, how are we ever going to end this filthy war that has besmirched for time immemorial? For time immemorial, the damage is already done. It has besmirched the good name of this once great nation. What do I think of the people that would put those creeps in office? What am I supposed to think? Help me here. Help me here. Because my basic inclination is to, it's the same way I feel about Bush voters. I know some of them are repenting, but I still want to look at them and say, stand up and be counted. Yeah, Bush voter, hold your arm up, because everything that is wrong with this country is your doing, sunshine. Your president preaches personal responsibility. Stand the hell up and take some. Because this is about personal responsibility. It is an individual choice on the part of this nation whether we will follow, whether we will backtrack and seek a path that leads to goodness and decency and light and hope, or whether we will continue down this broad primrose path to hell that the Republican Party has put us on, and that some of the people who share the same income class and the same basic situation as the rest of you and me, they have willingly participated in helping us go down that road. That is the choice in November 2006. And if we make the wrong choice, November 2008 may damn well not matter. I can't see any other outcome than that. I can't see any other way of explaining it but that. Can you? If you can, pick up the phone. Help me. I need some hope right now. Because things aren't looking terribly hopeful. I'm not saying we're going to lose in November. That's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying that we are in an uphill fight. We're in an uphill fight against a media that will not print letters like what I read from Mr. Holt.
All hell is breaking loose.
Yeah. Feels like kind of like it's yawning open. Help me. Show me some light. Let's make it better. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I couldn't keep.
is the Quality News Network. In Salt Lake City today, President Bush gave a speech at an American Legion gathering of 12,000 veterans. He predicted victory in the war on terror and compared the fight against Islamic fundamentalism to the battle against Nazism and communism. The latest AP Ipsos poll reveals that only one in three Americans approves of the president's leadership. In Vienna, a report by the International Nuclear Watchdog Agency released today states that Iran has no signs of freezing its uranium enrichment despite Western demands to do so by today's UN deadline. President Bush said today, quote, there must be consequences for Tehran. Earlier today, Iran's president insisted that his country would not accept bullying. At the United Nations today, the U.S. Ambassador John Bolton announced that the UN Security Council must now be ready to impose sanctions on Iran. He added that unanimity on the council was not necessary to move ahead. Across Iraq today, a series of violent attacks, most within a half hour, including two car bombs, left at least 51 people dead. The majority were killed in a Shiite part of Baghdad. More than 126 Iraqis were wounded. Since Sunday, 250 people have been killed in and around Baghdad. In Gaza today, for the first time in several weeks, Palestinian militants fired up to 10 rockets into Israel. There were no reports of damage. In fighting today in the West Bank, Israeli troops killed a Palestinian militant. In southern Lebanon today, a portion of the region has been transferred to the Lebanese army and international troops by the Israeli army. In Sweden, at an international donors conference today, more than $940 million in aid has been pledged by countries around the world to help rebuild Lebanon. The UN Security Council has voted to create a peacekeeping force in Sudan's Darfur region. However, the AP reports that the Sudanese government has rejected giving the UN authority over peacekeepers in their country. In Norway, two Edvard Munch paintings stolen from an Oslo museum by gunmen 2 years ago have been recovered by police. In Mexico, along the Pacific coast, up to 10,000 people are evacuating because of Hurricane John. And along the North and South Carolina coast, hurricane watches are in place as Tropical Storm Ernesto regains strength. And California will soon be the first state in the nation to set broad caps on greenhouse gas emissions. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said he expects America's productivity to keep growing solidly for some time to come. The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending in July rose 0.8%. That's the largest amount in 6 months. In August, retail stores reported solid sales. Merchants such as Walmart, Federated, and Limited Brands did well with back-to-school shoppers. Panasonic will begin selling a 103-inch television set, the world's largest, for $80,000. LG Electronics and Sharp expect a 20 to 30% drop in prices for flat LCD television sets next year because of overproduction and cost reductions. Mortgage rates fell for the sixth straight week. Freddie Mac reports the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan has dropped to 6.44%. Ford Motor is considering the sale of its luxury Aston Martin brand. Ford has owned the British sports car line since 1987 as part of its European luxury unit, which includes Land Rover and Volvo. And BP officials say they're optimistic that Prudhoe Bay oil production may be returned to normal levels earlier than expected. Light sweet crude settled at $70.26 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 2 points. The Nasdaq is also down 2. The S&P 500 is flat. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's 5.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Welcome back. I want to just, we're going right back to the phones, but I want to connect. I want to just put one more thing out there for your consideration based on the as yet unnamed theme that we've been working tonight. Dateline here, I don't know if you've heard this before or not. The dateline for this one is August 26th, Saltillo, Mississippi. And we started the program by reading some writings from the Concerned Citizens of America, the CCC, the fine friends of George Allen. And we've talked about the bigotry that is inherent in the Republican Party. Now I want you to see where it gets you. I want to tell you a little bit about a 12-year-old boy. 12-year-old boy named Joe. Joe started attending the Fellowship Baptist Church in Saltillo, Mississippi. It's not too far from Tupelo. And he went to the altar and he asked Jesus to live in his heart. 12-year-old Joe did. And shortly thereafter, a meeting was had in the Saltillo Baptist Church leadership. And the leadership of the Saltillo Baptist Church voted that they didn't want Jesus living in Joe's heart if Joe was going to be coming to this Fellowship Baptist Church in Saltillo, Mississippi. Isn't that stunning? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that curious that the Fellowship Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mississippi would reject a 12-year-old boy who had stood before the congregation and said he wanted Jesus to live in his heart? What could possibly account for a decision like that? You know the answer. You see, Joe was living with temporary family that was attending the Fellowship Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mississippi. And that temporary family was white. But Joe is of mixed race. Joe is part black. And the elders and the deacons and the committees of the Fellowship Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mississippi said, we don't want that kind here, because they were afraid that Joe might bring his black family members to church and that they might stand up in front of the congregation and say that they wanted Jesus to live in their hearts. There is a thread that runs through this program tonight. We're getting closer to figuring out what it is. What can you say? I'll tell you what I say. I'll tell you that the Fellowship Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mississippi is a dead letter. They are spiritually, morally, ethically, and in every other forms, dead. Now, to the credit of the pastor, the Reverend John Stevens, he said that they voted not to approve blacks as members during a scheduled Sunday night business meeting August 6th, and that as a result of the decision, he stepped down from the Baptist Missionary Alliance congregation and said he wanted no more to do with them. The church, he said, quote, was afraid Joe might come with his people and have blacks in the church. I could not go along with that. There would always be a wall between us, so I resigned that night. Cliff Hardy is an officer with the Tupelo Police Department. He left the church, he and his family. He said, I was asking the Lord to lead us, and the Lord led him right out of that church. He said, you see, my best friend is a black man. I wouldn't be comfortable going to a place where I couldn't ask my best friend to go to church with me. Is this an isolated incident? I submit to you that it is not. Not when the First Baptist Church of East Waynesboro or what the heck ever North Carolina had the Reverend Chan Chandler excommunicating people for voting for John Kerry. It is not an isolated incident. It is not an isolated incident when the Republican National Committee during the 2004 election cycle sent around requests for church directories from Baptist churches so that they could use them as campaign outreach manuals. I submit to you that it is not an isolated incident. I submit to you that it is not an isolated incident when, in fact, the Republican National Committee during the 2004 presidential campaign set forth guidelines for going to churches and asking them to let them use the church base for phone banking for Republican candidates. I submit to you it is not an isolated incident when the entire state of Ohio is covered up by, Rod Parsley, who's running around and saying that, we just won't invite no Democrats to speak to us because, you know, they how they are. And tap dances on the laws of the laws and regulations of the IRS and the Congress of the United States about it. Isolated incident? Not by a long shot. That wasn't a church. That was a Republican precinct, the Fellowship Baptist Church of Saltillo, Mississippi. Let's go to the phones. Phil is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Phil, thanks for calling.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
First time calling. I've actually listened to your show a couple of times. But I've never called in, and I'm normally a Mike Malloy listener, so needless to say, I found out late this afternoon about him getting, you know, fired.
Yeah, the dirty deal.
Yeah, it stressed me out, because I even told people at work that, you know, just my man who I listen to, I'm African-American, and, Mike brings it. I mean, every night he brought it.
Yeah.
One thing I was concerned, you know, we talk about Republicans and people who vote against their own interests. You know, it's like, okay, I have a good job. I was in the Air Force. I have a good job. I actually work for a satellite corporation, and I do well. You know, I do okay. But you got a lot of people in this area that are old folks, you know, and they're always telling me, oh, you shouldn't vote Democratic, oh, you should, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they're the very ones that complain about gas prices, high energy costs. It just doesn't connect with these people. I don't know. It's like they're pod people or something, like something taking over them. I don't get it.
I don't either. All I can suggest, Phil, is that they've been taken in by the so-called wedge issues. Because if they're telling you, well, you know, you shouldn't vote for blah 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 blah, they're telling you that because they've heard something evil. And I mean evil in the real, live, honest to God sense of the word evil.
Right.
They've heard the way that John Kerry was slimed.
Oh, it was just horrible. And you know, I've even had conversation with folks at my job where they got in my face and said, you're a blah 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 liar, you know, especially during the debate, 2004 debate between the vice president and Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat there and I said, look, if 9/11 didn't happen, then what would you guys be saying right now? Because actually 9/11 happened on his watch.
Yeah.
We'll have to say, okay, well, wait a minute. you know, they always want to say Clinton. It's like they watch Fox News too much, and the talking points. But you know what? I see it breaking down a little bit. I'm optimistic about 2006. You know, the midterm election, but these voting machines, they got to go.
Yeah, they do. It's part of the reasons that it's so necessary to get a Democratic majority in the House and in the Senate, Phil, because that's when the real work begins.
Right.
Because I'm not kidding. I want to build a big old blazing fire, get it absolutely just scorching white hot, and I want to hold the Democratic Party's feet to that fire and make them work on fixing this nation, because the Republican majority was happy to cruise. I mean, you know, they got their front feet in the trough, and man, that was the end of it.
Right. Well, believe it or not, I think I call into the local radio stations here around town, and they're right wing bent, but there's a guy on there that he's almost like Jack Cafferty, you know, on CNN,
mm-hmm.
like he's been hammering the Bush administration, blah blah blah. But like I'd say like 4 years ago, he wasn't. So I hit him every day with a comment or a question. I said, you know, look. How many times are we going to say enough is enough? You know, and this thing with Iran, I mean, the U.S., it seems like they want to race toward getting these sanctions. I mean, what has happened to engagement?
Engagement died in January 2001 with the inauguration, Phil, and you know that as well as I do.
I know.
Now you want something to get, you know, I mean, the cold sweat in the middle of the night, 3 a.m. sitting bolt upright in bed stuff. You want something for that? Oil dropped below $70 a barrel today.
Oh, I know. And I've been noticing the drop and I try to think about it. So what is their justification for the dropping of oil when the sanctions are right around the corner? So, you know, all their logic, every time they say, oh, the gas price is hiked because of this. Oh, because of this. This stuff is way, it's in the ground already. Okay, for, you know, to be pumped in your car, how can they justify future gas price? That's a sham. That is a total sham.
Well, it's the same thing as going to Vegas and watching the wheel go round and putting your chip down and go red, no, black, no, red, you know, and you lose.
And I think, too, American car companies have really failed in not embracing new technology. In fact, I think it was Ford or GM. It was somebody that's partnering with Toyota to engage in their hybrid technology and use some of their technologies. And it's like we have smart people here in the United States, and that's one thing I don't get.
Well, there's a brilliant documentary out there now, Phil, called
Electric Cars, right?
Yeah, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I heard about that.
It's worth the watch.
Right.
But I remember when the first gas crisis hit, I was still a kid in the early 70s. I guess I was about 10 when the gas crisis hit. But I heard old guys who had, you know, grease under their fingernails sitting around the garage saying, well, you know, they had a 70-mile-an-hour carburetor about 30 years ago, and General Motors bought it up, and we ain't seen hide nor hair of it since.
Right, right.
And I don't doubt the truth of that. That's not.
Oh, I totally, it's like talking to a wall with these American companies, and last thing I want to say, because I know you got other callers, I just think that, you know, if things don't work out for Mike at Air America Radio, and I understand if he doesn't want to come back, which I probably personally wouldn't. I know there's been some mentions on some blogs where he would say, if not enough time had passed by or something, he would consider it, but, I mean, that's hearsay, and mm-hmm. I really think that if he gets his own show and does something with maybe you, I know you said you couldn't pay him, but just something like on iTunes, the podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I realized the show and it was like, wow, I mean, this is refreshing, you know?
Yeah.
And, I think if Mike's listening tonight, tell him, you know, hey man, we're right beside you, believe it or not. It may feel like you're by yourself, but I doubt that. So, but yeah, that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you, Phil. I appreciate your kind words toward Mike, and I appreciate your kind words about the horn. I think we're really trying to grow something and change something here. We're trying to operate the horn on a truly different paradigm, because when this thing started, Phil, we took a really long, hard look. I mean, I'm no Harvard MBA like George Bush, mind you, but we took a hard look at the way right-wing radio is structured, and I sat and I listened to a bunch of it, and I'd listened to the ads in particular. The content is what the content always is. But whether it's Savage or O'Reilly or Hannity or Limbaugh, it's all the same thing. It's call now for your chance to invest in gold. Gold is going to be your best advancement in the coming hard times.
Oh, I know.
And then it's, I sleep better since I got my Swedish mattress made of foam.
Whatever.
Yeah. And then it's the herbal sexual dysfunction remedies and vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there's got to be a better way than that.
Well, you know, I believe it or not, I am I'm a satellite engineer, thermal engineer, and I'm going to school right now for broadcast communications. And I've been at the school for probably, because I go to school part-time. I'm recognizing some of the things that happened in radio, and it's just, I mean, I thought Air America Radio was, I supported, I was even a premium member. I told them today that, prorate my money back because, I feel as though I'm getting shortchanged here. And, I thought Air America was on the right, the right path. And I was like, all they need to do, they're hitting them in the radio, but they needed somebody like, say, a CNN or whoever, visually, comparing, going head to head with, Fox News or CNN. You have Link TV with Democracy Now. I mean, nobody's gonna watch. I mean, some people watch, but I'm just saying, like on a level of a professional news studio, something like that.
Right.
Just spitting out the truth because...
Well, CNN started that way, Phil.
Yeah, I know. It's like...
And as soon as they had their little coup and got rid of Ted Turner,
mm-hmm.
That's when it started going to hell, when it became a part of AOL.
Oh.
As a telemarketer, I've said on the air, I once hustled AOL to people who really didn't need it, and there's a really evil place in hell waiting for me because of what I did.
The AOL scandal, I was involved in that as well because I tried to cancel my AOL. They ended up giving me CompuServe, and I was like, well, wait a minute, how come I'm getting billed the same thing? But, that's a side note, but anyway.
Yeah.
Bob, you have a good night.
Thanks, Phil. Have a great night.
I'll call again.
I hope you will. I enjoyed our conversation immensely.
Have a good evening.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And let's roll on to Florida and our good friend Gail. Hey, Gail, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bob. Got a couple things here. The caller just reminded me about the how they're blaming Clinton on 9/11. ABC is supposed to come out with a special on the 10th and the 11th of September about 9/11. And reportedly they're going to be blaming 9/11 on Clinton.
Isn't John Stossel still there? I mean, if John Stossel's got a hand in it, it'll be Clinton's fault. He's a right-wing goober. I fully expect him to do it. I 9/11 is just one great big angry thing for me. There's nothing about 9/11 that allows me, Gail, anymore to keep my equanimity whatsoever. ABC's going to come out. I think I did read something about that. ABC's going to come out with a Blame Clinton First 9/11 documentary. Now we've got the rebroadcast on CBS where they're going to, they're actually planning on playing the dirty words that the, firefighters in the middle of disasters, I imagine they use some choice language.
Right.
Because it conveys a lot, those words convey a lot of meaning.
Yes, don't want to let those potty-mouthed firefighters.
Yeah, so the American Family Association thinks it's more important to censor people who are, some of whom are dead, Gail, dead. To censor them, the last words that may ever have been recorded coming from their mouths, that it's more important to censor them than it is for America to be able to honor them in the midst of their struggle. And, you know, I despise those goons for their attitude. You know, it's funny. I've begged them, Gail. I've begged some of these people from the American Family Association to come on my program. They won't have anything to do with it.
Well, I won't be watching ABC for a while. Another thing, I called last week, and I'd like to kind of issue a little bit of a retraction because I found out that I had misread my email.
Okay, go ahead.
Really, really evil at first. I mean, a friend of mine had gone to Seattle to the Veterans for Peace conference, and I had initially reported to you that the TSA or luggage screeners had removed some things from his luggage. But it turns out it's a little bit happier story, actually. They had placed things in his luggage, some anti-war things, some recruitment or anti-recruitment literature, as well as a couple books and an anti-Bush administration T-shirt on the war. Who knows if it was an accident or it makes the story even more interesting.
It's all bizarre now, Gail. You know, I haven't been on a plane in a while. I put my son on one a couple of months ago and was grateful when it landed in Charleston with no further incident. But this is an upside-down, crazy world. I'm absolutely, utterly convinced that the British gel bombing plot was honest to God, it was a function of Michael Chertoff's kid or whatever saying, "Hey, Dad, look at this Diet Coke Mentos thing on YouTube," and they cook up a terror plot out of it.
Oh, there was no doubt. I mean, as soon as I heard it, I was wondering, began to think along those lines myself. Back a while back, there was a building that had blown up in New York. Supposedly, some dentist or doctor.
Oh, I remember that.
Had blown up the building. Well, within 15 minutes after the announcement that the building had blown up, it was coming out of the White House that it was not terrorist related, and I just instantly pieced it together that, you know,
how can you know?
Yeah, how could they know? Is exactly right, and to me, they had to jump out right quick and say, no, it wasn't terrorist related. You know, we've been studying this and we know, because if it is terrorist related, then they're letting the people know that they're not doing their jobs. So they had to automatically discredit that to any kind of,
Well, and I remember when that went down because we had the audio that night, Gail, of Larry King. Larry got on the phone and called CNN immediately. He said, "You know, kids, I was in a hotel just down the block there, and I got to tell you, we heard it, and it sounded like a bomb. I'm telling you, it sounded like a bomb." You know, they're just shameless. They're such shameless people. I mean, there's other words I'd like to use. But the worst part of it is they are fools, and they assume that we are as big a fool as what they are. I mean, the great KY Jelly airline bombing plot, not buying it. You know, Mento, you know. I remember once, honest to God, Gail, I was on a flight, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to smoke, so I got to do something with the oral fixation. I had like one of those four-roll packs of Mentos in my suit, in my sport jacket pocket, and I just sat there just mainlining Mentos the whole flight. And I'm thinking now, you know, I don't know if I could get, I don't think I could get on the plane with my Mentos now.
Oh, I have a hard time doing that too.
You know, I guess if I ever fly again, I'm going to have to spring for a box of nicotine patches, but I don't know if I'll be able to carry those either.
Well, you got the Nicorette gum, but it gives you such a case of cotton mouth. But one other thing, Bob, the mayor of Salt Lake City, one fellow by the name of Rocky Anderson.
Mm-hmm. A Democrat. How did that happen? I know.
Yeah, really. Bush also spoke at the American Legion in Salt Lake City, I understand, the other day. Well, Rocky gave a speech that was very, very powerful coming down against the administration. The people outside were cheering. Rocky was also coming down hard on the media for not doing their job. I had sent a link, and there's a his speech is out there somewhere, but in text. But it's much more powerful to watch the video and see the crowd that had gathered, and the shouting of tell us, you know, tell us the truth, tell us the truth, tell us the truth. And the cheers.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiring.
It is, and you can tell how inspiring it was or what a threat it was because the right-wing hate machine has gone into overdrive, Gail. They're attacking this gentleman with everything they've got. And the American Legion's come out, you know, why doesn't he just leave Utah? You know, I love that mindset. If you disagree with them, you should therefore quit the field of debate and abandon it to the people that you know are wrong. These people are, in large part, Gail, we're talking about certifiable idiots.
No doubt.
And it just, it's part of what makes me so doggone stubborn. What Brad said about being, you know, about ready to give up, I understand completely. But there's something in me that can't or won't. I'm gonna.
No, we can't. We can't give up. It's too important.
It is. And, you know, I think I've referenced it before. You remember that poster? You're of a certain age. You remember that poster of, like, the crane that's eating the frog standing there in the swamp, and he's got the frog most of the way into his mouth, and yet the frog has got his arms out of the beak of the bird, and he's got it around the throat of that, around the throat of the bird.
Right.
And, you know, underneath it just says, never give up. You know, that's kind of where I am. You know, they might try to eat me, but I'm going to make it as unpalatable as possible. And I think we've all got to, you know, maybe we empower ourselves a little bit on this program and the other programs on the horn. Maybe it helps us see a little bit of the light, Gail. Maybe it helps us feel not quite so alone. But at the end of the day, we've got to go out and we've got to talk it in the street. I keep saying, you know, you've got to talk it in the line at the grocery store. We got to, you know, walking by somebody on the street. I've made it a point of every time I go pay for gas, whether I'm standing just with the clerk or if there's a crowd there, I put the money on the counter and I say, yeah, well, thanks, George Bush. Love that $3 a gallon gas.
Exactly.
Because
people have to be more empowered to talk out in public about these kind of things, because without doing that, people are just going to think that, you know, it's status quo. Same things are just going to remain.
Yeah, and the thing is, we can do that.
We have to put the bug out.
It costs nothing to make a comment like that.
Righto.
Right. Thanks, Gail. Have yourself a wonderful evening.
Thanks, Bob. Good talking as always.
Always a pleasure. Take care. And Agnes,
where?
Bob?
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
You want to know what the thread that's running through the show is tonight?
Can you put a name on it?
Racist on the rise. Racist on the rise. That's the threat. The racists are trying desperately to bring back racism, and they're trying to bring back all the horrors and all the evil that they did before the Civil War. But it wasn't nothing civil about it. It was a war between two ideals, Bob. One that all men are created equal, and the other that, no, I'm more equal than you are.
Yeah, well, the difference between all men are created equal and some men aren't men. Some men are three-fifths of a human being, as was legislated.
Those three-fifths of a human being stood by me,
yeah,
side by side in a battle, in many battles, many times, over and over, and I saw them die, and I sent them back to their mammies and their pappies, back in Alabama and back there in Mississippi, and I sent them back there in green body bags a long, long time ago. And now we're in it again, and now we have to stop the sin. The sin is this, Bob. Racists are trying again to become what they always were, racist. They don't have brothers or sisters. They don't look across the oceans and see other brothers and sisters. They don't open up and say, you are as good as I am. In fact, you're a better man than I, Bob. You're a better man than I.
I won't go there, Bob.
Yes.
I think no. I believe no. We are all of one cast. We are all of one mold. You know, if you go over to that stupid Michael Savage's website, you'll see his little catchphrase: "Borders, language, culture." You know what? The borders. The it shows how stupid he is, because the borders are where the breathable air runs out at the top of the atmosphere. The language is the one language that we can all comprehend. The language of the humans is, among other things, mathematics. The culture is human culture. You know, and only a bigot and a fool wants to define it any other way.
That's a fact, and hey, you got it. But the threat you're looking for is the racists are on the rise.
They're marching. Bob, they're marching.
Yeah, they're on the rise. They're just like those on the Hitler channel, like Malloy used to say. Okay? In the day.
On the
Hitler.
The all Hitler network, yeah.
The old Hitler network. You know, the racists are on the rise. And there he is out there, Big Island. And if you look at Bush, he does the same GD thing, okay? He does the same GD thing. He stands out for an audience and he pontificates. He tries to tell everybody what they should think. And, hey, there are a few of us left. The us old Dodgers that just kind of got the message a long time ago and just quit. We just said, that's enough. I've had enough of this. I'm not going to. It's like that young man over there in Germany said that I'm about ready to give up my American citizenship and become a citizen of the world. And I think, yeah, that's what we all have to do, is just give up our American citizenship and become citizens of the world, and realize that the people in Lebanon, the people that were bombed, and they can't even go back to their fields because these GD Israelis dropped at the last minute, at the last hour of this invasion of Lebanon, they dropped these bomblets.
Yeah, they salted the earth with cluster bombs.
Yeah, from Bush. They didn't get them from anybody else.
No, we made them, Bob.
He shipped them there. He put them there, Federal Express. He gave them overnight delivery.
When you've absolutely got to absolutely positively got to bomb the snot out of somebody overnight.
Yeah.
Federalist Express.
Yeah, Federal Express, or, you know, George Bush, let's get them there yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
That's what happened. And people don't realize that that they were bombing fields where people plant crops to feed their family and to grow food for their nation, and they didn't even think about it because these Israelis are better than everybody. Oh, there's somebody. Hey, just go back and dig it out of the Bible.
Well, you know what? We don't even have to go back to the Bible, Bob. As someone who reads a little bit of history, although I can't claim to fully comprehend all of it, I've been reading about the Crusades.
Yes.
And the kingdom after the first Crusade, which was fairly successful, when the Roman Catholic Crusaders came into Jerusalem, they slaughtered every Muslim and every Jew that they saw. They just killed them. Just killed them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they set up something that was geographically a little bit larger than Israel, and they called it the Kingdom of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Okay? The Kingdom of Jerusalem held out, and sometimes it was good, and sometimes it was bad, and they were always, Bob, always, I mean every daggum day, they were always at war for 250 years. Okay, 250 years, and every single day of that, they were absolutely convinced that the kingdom of Jerusalem was going to last until Jesus came back. All right, it was going to be there forevermore. They took some French noble who knocked some of the manure off of his boots and pared out some of it from under his fingernails, and they said, "Well, you know, you were a duke in France, but buddy, you're the king of Jerusalem now." And so, yep, I sure am. And I'm gonna gotta have me an arranged marriage, and we're gonna have us some little kinglets, and the kingdom of Jerusalem's gonna last for it lasted 250 years, Bob, and then it was erased from the face of the earth.
And Bob.
And I'm not saying I want that to happen to anybody. I wish the hell these people could live in peace. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of them that are making way too much money and having way too much fun to ever contemplate living in peace. And I mean, and by that I mean Hezbollah. And by that I mean the Likud party. And by that I mean Benjamin Netanyahu. And I mean the goober who's prime minister of Israel right now. They're having way too much fun watching other people die to ever live in peace. And it is making them very, very rich men. Sorry.
Hey, that doesn't sound very familiar, though. It's happening here, Bob. It's not only there.
No.
It's happening right here.
We birthed it, Bob.
With a very few right here in this nation. Okay, you want to talk about, okay, Walmart. I mean, I know Agnes loves the smiley face. She always buys your trousers there, right?
Oh, no, not exactly.
But see, that's the ticket. It's the very few trying to impress upon everyone else that they know the answer. And guess what, Bob? I don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. Mike Malloy never knew the answer. He never hinted at having an answer. All he said is that he had an opinion. I have an opinion. You have an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Every opinion is just that. It's your opinion. It's not the answer. The answer is my good friend Andrew in New York. Oh, my God, I love that man. He is eloquent and very, very fine. He is my brother, but then, again, he's black, I'm white.
That's okay. We can be that way if we bother to remember the work that was done by people, you know, and these people were, you know, you were a young man, younger man then, you know, people who were 18, 19 years old and went to Mississippi and marched and fought for voter registration and labor rights and laid their lives on the line and took to the streets and got hosed down by Bull Connor in Birmingham and got rousted by the cops at lunch counters in North Carolina and South Carolina. If we will bother to remember that, we can save it. And yeah, we can talk again about the brotherhood of man, but not with these guys the way they are now, not with them on the march, not when Conrad Burns feels completely comfortable saying that the world is under assault by people who drive taxis by day and are killers by night. Not when George Allen can say that, well, you know, Virginians here in the Commonwealth of Old Virginia, the people don't really worry about me being a bigot and a racist and a Klansman. That's all made up by the liberal media. You know, no. See, we will not have brotherhood of man as long as that happens. And you know what? The Republican Party, Bob, doesn't want that brotherhood of man to obtain. You know, we birthed the bigotry and the prejudice that was manifested in the Israeli attacks upon civilian population centers in Lebanon. We birthed that here in the United States with our own attitudes toward people. There's a terrible threat to America from Mexican women swabbing toilets. They're destroying the economy, you understand. We birthed that kind of attitude here, Bob. I tell you what, I'm sorry to babble over top of you. I didn't mean to do that.
No, that's all right. Hey, you speak very well. You're taking on the mantle. I told you, take on the mantle. But guess what? I was in Vietnam when MLK was killed. Okay? I was there with my dearest and most precious friend, my black brother. And I was there when they killed MLK. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was in combat and I think that's the turning point when MLK went down. We quit. We just said, this is wrong. We're fighting for the wrong goddamn cause. And he said in his last message that when there are ones are over there being slaughtered, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they slaughtered him. We just, can I say frickin'?
Yeah, okay, that works.
Frickin' quit. Okay, I won't say the word, but we just frickin' quit. We said that's enough. We ain't, hey, I saw my, and they were very dark on the outside, but their blood was just as red as mine.
Sure.
And their love of me, oh God, I fought beside them, and they loved this white boy. They loved me. I was a farm boy from Minnesota. I came up.
They probably hadn't never heard anybody talk like you talk, Bob.
I didn't have a pair of goddamn shoes till I was 14 years old. I never, I run through the fields. I used to run through the day hog pens, just like they used to talk about, you know, what they did when they were boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot in common. But
well, that's the way, Bob, that's the way it is with poor people. Poor people, black, white, yellow, green, purple, or pink, have a lot in common. And it's about poor people and about working people recognizing that that's where the commonality is. The commonality lays in the work. The commonality lays in the sacrifice. The commonality lays in what happens during your every breathing day. And it's the same thing, regardless of color or race or gender. If you're working people, you're working people. If somebody signs your check, you're a worker. Okay? And that's what you guys recognized. You were the same people. You were doing the same dirty job.
So when I speak and I hear about common folk over there in Iraq, Iran, and in Afghanistan being decimated by this racist pink, I call them, I don't know, pink people. They're not white, they're not black, they're not brown, they're not human, they're something else by these racists. And that's why I said there's one common thread that runs through this show tonight. Racists on the rise. They've been rising up since Goldwater got his come up. And that's a fact, Bob. They've been just plotting and planning and figuring out how to get at us, and they're coming back, and we got to take them down, Bob. We just got to do it.
We do, and the only way that we've got a shot is November. Bob, I've got to roll on and take another call, but thank you so much for your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. I've got to roll, man.
No, I get emotional.
No, look, that's what this place is for, okay? It's well, absolute, but I got to roll, okay, brother?
Andy and everybody out there, I love you boys, and hey, just keep doing what you're doing.
They love you too, man. They love you too. We'll talk to you soon, Bob. And going onward to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Well, you know, I guess we all have, because of the conditions in which we live today, what I would call a suitcase full of bricks that we have to carry around. You know what I mean?
Big suitcase, big bricks.
And, you know, one day, I just got tired of carrying that suitcase around. And I had to let it go. Because if I couldn't let it go, I knew that it would drag me under. And I don't have any answers for anybody, just for myself and what my opinions are. They're just my opinions. I don't try to make them to be any type of directive for anybody else.
I understand that. That's a lot of what we try to provide on this program, Jim.
But, I mean, you know, basically, you have to deal with your own demons your own way. But the main thing is whether it's through religion, whether it's through political conviction, or whether it's through a determination to try to make this world somewhat better, it has to start within your own heart, and you have to drop that suitcase full of bricks. And once you do that, at least you're one step further than you were before. Now, I know this may sound almost mystical or unclear for people who don't know what I'm talking about, but you simply have to, I guess it starts as, you know, in order to deal with the world, you've got to forgive yourself first before you could forgive other people and before you can move on with your life and try to make things a little better. Not a great deal, but inch by inch, anything's a fix. That's what I'm trying to
do. I understand. I do understand. But by the same token, depending on how you define that suitcase full of bricks, Jim, if you don't hang on to some outrage, if you don't hang on to something to motivate you, then how are we ever going to affect change?
I don't know.
If something doesn't pull you out the door every day, if something doesn't make you speak to your neighbor in the grocery line, if you're not somehow empowered to say something so that you can be heard by others when you're paying for your $3 a gallon gas, how are we ever going to change anything?
Well, I wish I had the answer to those questions, but I really don't. And if I did, I would share them with you. If I did, I would do everything I could to make them known to everybody, but
I know.
It's just, you know,
it's hard. Listen, these are hard times, and they're going to get harder, Jim.
Well, like I said earlier, you know, when you were talking about Mike Malloy last night, and we were talking about what's happening to this country, I mean, there are some definitely malignant forces that are at work, and they have been here a long, long time. I mean, this thing has lain sort of dormant for a long time, and now it's really beginning to manifest itself in some of the leadership and some of the things that have happened, and we simply have to, I guess, as far as the concrete suggestion is concerned, to try to win at least part of the election in November and crawl from the bottom to the top. Because, you know, I can see so many things that are going to happen in this country alone. I can't understand why we're spending money in Iraq, but we have our own cities that are not protected. I mean, just for example.
Yeah, well, wait just a minute, Jim, because the salient part of that point is that if this money was not being spent in Iraq, the sad fact of the matter is they would complain that we did not have it in the budget to help the cities in the United States. They'd say, well, you know, we can't pour more money into New Orleans. It'll break us.
You know, for example, as far as New Orleans is concerned, I think that basically the current administration would prefer to see New Orleans remain minus 6% of its population because they can turn that from a blue into a red state. And, you know, that's because of a natural disaster that occurred called Katrina. But if you look at a city like Sacramento, California, it suffers the same type of vulnerability that New Orleans does. And Sacramento basically is even a worse scenario because of the earthquake situation in that state.
Yeah.
Now, Sacramento is protected by all kinds of levees and things of that nature. And if they had an earthquake there, all their protecting levees would be subject to liquefaction and there would be nothing left. And what I don't understand, and maybe I'm being terribly naive and terribly stupid, is, my God, why can't we go to other countries like the Netherlands and to the Italians in Venice that are trying to save their cities and spend some of the money that we need to do this on our own infrastructure instead of just pissing it away?
Well, your question begs other questions. You know, why can't the top 0.1% of the American earners who receive 43% of the tax breaks, why can't they pay a little bit for their privilege of being Americans and having American tax dollars protect their wealth? Why can't they do that? Why is it called class warfare, Jim, if we simply ask that everyone pay their fair share?
Well, there's no reason why that's what the graduated income tax is based upon for people to do that, but they want to reverse that.
They're trying to make it regressive. Absolutely. Jim, thank you so very much.
And one other thing.
Yeah.
You know, the old we can't do a lot about, but when I see these things that are advertisements for St. Jude's Hospital for Children and to try try to make something for them, that really bothers me a great deal. I mean, there's so many things that we could conquer in inner space within our own borders without having to go out and make trouble for other people and make ourselves pariahs for the world.
That's the truth, Jim. Truer words have not been spoken this evening. Thank you very kindly.
And thank you, sir.
Have a good evening.
Too.
Bye. And one last story before we close. There will be a rerun of some of the best of Mike Malloy from his IE America days following this program. One last story. I like to call this the triumph of the National Rifle Association. From the Associated Press. It's a little bit of southern Lebanon right here at home. A military shell given to a group of children by a neighbor exploded while they played with it, killing two children and injuring five others in Bakersfield, California. Police were investigating the cause of Tuesday's explosion, which damaged homes and forced neighbors to wrap bloodied and dazed children in blankets. As you can imagine, this was a traumatic experience for the kids and their parents, said Bakersfield Police Detective Greg Terry, so it's going to take a while to sort things out. Andrew Echeverry, 8, died at the scene, and Jenny Marie Clowder, 7, died at the Kern Medical Center, the county coroner said. The victims, the oldest 12 years old, suffered minor to moderate injuries. Police had initially reported that 6 children were injured, but determined that a girl thought to be hurt was not at the scene when it exploded. Yes, yes, Lord, yes. There is the triumph of the National Rifle Association. Because, you know, the National Rifle Association's motto is, if it explodes, we want you to own it. A little bit of southern Lebanon. Right in our own backyards. Here, kid, here's a shell. Go play with it. What the hell? I mean, that's... Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, you know, Bob, if somebody had a gun, they could have shot the... Oh... Welcome to Bushmerica, where children play with ordnance, where children are rejected from churches because of the color of their skin, where children drown in the foul and fetid waters left behind by a hurricane, where children become orphans because the Bush administration rolls back safety regulations for working people who work a mile under the earth so that your light goes on when you flip the switch. Welcome to Bushmerica.